Come with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. I'm going to be reading from the 18th verse. The Word of God says here, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." In essence, this is how it happened. "When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now, when we read this story, this account, it is easy for us to read it and just breeze through it. This service, I want to attempt once again to take you past just the fact that Jesus was born. I want you to learn some key principles of life that are connected to this story. What do you do when you're telling the truth and the truth that you're telling looks like a big fat lie? Here is Mary. She is a virgin. She's never known a man physically. She's engaged. She's espoused to a gentleman called Joseph. And one day she comes to him and tells him that she is pregnant. You know why I know that's the first time? Because I don't think, in real terms, that Mary had this dream and then goes and tells Joseph, "You know what? I had this wonderful dream and this angel showed up and told me I'm going to be pregnant." Doesn't make any sense. And most people will not volunteer that kind of information because there's no precedent. Nobody has ever experienced this kind of a thing before. So why are you going to tell somebody something that you are not even sure about? Maybe you just had too much beans, some lentils that day, and that's how you came about this funny dream. But now there's something happening inside there, and she's forced to tell Joseph, "Joseph, I have to tell you, what is it, baby? I am pregnant." "You are what?" "I am pregnant." "I didn't hear you correctly. Did you say you were pregnant?" "Yes, that's what I said." "Who is the guy? I'm going to kill that guy right now. Who did this?" "No guy." "What do you mean, no guy? Is it James? That guy that's been looking at you?" "No, no, it's not James. So it's got to be Peter." "No, not Peter. Nobody. But you just told me you're pregnant." You're pulling my leg. "No, no, I'm not. I'm really pregnant." "You're not serious." "No, I'm serious. I'm pregnant." "So who did it?" "God." "Did I just hear you say God?" "Yes, God. An angel showed up and told me I was going to have a baby. Ah. So you think I am a fool. I am a fool. That's how you looked at me up to down. You looked at me all the way up, down, and you come up with this big fat lie? Okay. This is it. But you know what? You're not going to make me a bad man. So I'm going to deal with this thing secretly and just push you aside because I don't understand this, that you can think so little of me. I'm so glad that we are not yet involved, that this relationship has not been consummated yet. This would have been the biggest mistake I've ever made in my life. And everything he would have been saying would be true. But at the same time, he would have been wrong. She didn't ask for this. She's kept herself. She didn't ask for this. But here she is, stuck with a big fat problem she did not start. While Joseph is going through all this turmoil inside, the Bible says the angel of the Lord shows up in a dream and tells him, she's correct. She didn't cheat on you. Yes, she is pregnant. But the child that is in her is a child of the Holy Ghost. This child is for real. Mary didn't cheat on you. This child is for real. The first thing that comes across my mind today is this, that sometimes you can judge situations, jump to conclusions, simply because whatever we're jumping onto has never happened before. It's never happened before. And God is saying something to us this season, that I'm about to do something new, something that has never happened before. Something that even if it were told you, you will not believe it. Because there's no precedence to it. There's nothing you can go back to and say, well, this happened, therefore I believe this is. No precedence. God is about to break into our natural regiments and systems and bring about that which only He can bring to pass. Hallelujah. The only place we can function now is in the functionality of God, not in the functionality of natural minds. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joseph, you're wrong. She's right. How? Yes, because it's a new thing. It's a new day. And this year, I want you to know very clearly, deep within your spirit, that God has spoken. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, let me go a little bit further, because now that we know God has spoken, God said, and it is confirmed not only with Mary, I'm with Joseph, because they now both know she's pregnant. Everything should go smoothly right now because they're in the will of God. Everything should fall in proper order. And that's the next thing I want to talk to you about today. That because it is the will of God does not mean that things go easy. Please understand that. It's not the issue of hearing God and knowing God's will. The in-between, between when God said and the full manifestation of what God said, there is this in-between middle point. And this middle point, I cannot guarantee you, is going to be easy. I cannot. Sometimes the will of God makes things hard. And if you don't get that, you will live a very discouraged, disappointed life as a Christian. So she's pregnant. And Caesar Augustus decides it is time to be taxed, or it is time to have a census. Apographo is a Greek word. And it means to write down something, to take note, to register, to make a copy of something. Apographo. You can see the word there, grapho, so you can see letters, numbers, whatever. Graphics. So, he says he wants everybody to be taxed. Everybody to be recorded in the system. Now, the complication is, if we're doing a census, and I was born in Toronto, I don't have to move from Winnipeg to go to Toronto to go register. That's not how it works. But the decree this time moves everybody. And so they were in Nazareth. But the roots of the man is in Bethlehem. So now, pregnant woman in her basically ninth month gets on the limousine called donkey. Hallelujah. And they start coming all the way from Nazareth, uphill, you understand? Uphill, because from Nazareth you have to go uphill. You go up to Jerusalem. So they come in all the way from Nazareth, going uphill. It's not easy. And you know for sure, absolutely for sure, not only is there difficulty in doing this journey, you know for sure that God, who told them 9 months ago that they were going to have a child, has a place already ready called the Hilton. It is set. God has to make sure that at least there's one spot for Mary and Joseph and the child that was going to be born. Of course, they're in the will of God. They heard God. Mary heard God. Joseph heard God. The pregnancy is here. Well, this crazy guy decides we're going to go on this journey. God already knew about that before it happened. So therefore, it's got to be easy when we get to Bethlehem. Hallelujah. God, my provider, the needs are met. No problem. We're in the will of God. They get there. Knock, knock, knock. Got a place for us? No. Place is packed. Come on, what do you mean? Can be. Can be. We have a special package here. It can be. No room. They go everywhere. No room. Now, Joseph must have family here. This is his roots. There's no room anywhere. And he's left with this spot the Bible calls the manger. So now, the child of God is going to be born in a manger. This is God's child. God knows it. Joseph knows it. Mary knows it. They are in the will of God. And it's a manger where animals are. How does that make any sense? This is when I say, when God doesn't make any sense, what do you do? You're in the will of God, and things are not falling in proper order. What do you do? How can you trust when it's so difficult? But that's what they are called to do, to continue to trust. And yet the Bible tells us, child is born there with in the manger. But why? Because that's where the animals were. Interesting. But how does that matter to me? Because man without God acts like an animal. Have you ever heard the statement, why are you acting like an animal? Because that's what ungodly men act like. And we were all ungodly. Where else? Why should he be born here? Because he's a shepherd. Where else would you expect this shepherd to be? Well, right where he's supposed to be. Why did they leave Nazareth to come to Bethlehem? Well, because Bethlehem means the house of bread. So in all of this craziness, there was order. Let me say it again. In all of the craziness, there was perfect order. And child of God, what I want to encourage you to do is when you look at your life and the things that are happening in your life that may be going helter-skelter everywhere, look and look closely, because you will know that you're in the will of God, because in all of that craziness, there is a pattern, an order, something that God is doing within all of that confusion. God remains good. In every situation that you find yourself, God remains good. He is telling a story. Let me say it again. He is what? Telling a story. And every time you're going through things, God is telling a story. You will have a testimony at the end of that story. You'll be able to say, look what God did. Because if I was not sick, I wouldn't have known God as my healer. If I had not been broke, I wouldn't have known God as my provider. God is the God of the breakthrough. No matter what has happened in my life, meaning has come out of the meaninglessness. I found Christ in my crisis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My prayer is that you'll find the Christ in your crisis, that you'll know the love of God, the power of God, the authority of God, the wisdom of God like never before, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Their expectations seemed not to have been met, But God was meeting it. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, we read the story of wise men. He says that the wise men, when they came into the house, now Jesus is about 2 years old at this point. I know that when we see the pictures of in Christmas, at Christmas time, we have, you know, the wise men come into the manger. No, he was no longer in the manger, because God is a God who upgrades you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There might not be room right now, but there's going to be room shortly. Hallelujah. They moved from Nazareth and they came here. And while that was happening, the Bible tells us that way out in the east, around Iran and Iraq, there were wise men called the Magi. They had seen the star of the Lord. And in seeing that star, they discerned that this was about a special child that had been born. And so the Magi gathered their stuff and they start heading out. Close to 1,000, maybe a little bit over 1,000, depending on where they might have started out from. And they head in to Israel. It takes them close to 2 years to come all that way. And as they come to Jerusalem. When they get to Jerusalem, the star moves and starts heading to Bethlehem. But they figured the star missed its way. This thing is going the wrong way. We can see the palace over here, and if there's a king born, it's got to be born over here. If the power of God is going to be present, it's going to be happening over in that big mega church over there. But this thing is moving in a different direction. So they go in and they start talking to Herod about this child that they suppose Herod had. He says, I don't have any newborn child born. He investigates and finds out nobody gave birth to any child. And so he calls on the leaders of the day and said, is there supposed to be a special child born? And he said, yes, the Messiah is supposed to be born. And he is going to be born in Bethlehem, Ephrata. So he comes to the wise men and says to the so-called wise men who got too smart for God, said, check Bethlehem, and if you find out that the child has been born, come back and tell me. So they came out looking for this star, and the Bible says this star appeared and they were so excited, filled with joy, and they followed the star and they came to where Jesus was. The Bible says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young what? Child. With Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. Sorry, say gifts. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, it's easy to think that those came in those small little cigar boxes that we see on the drawings. No, these guys came with wealth. Because while trouble was brewing, because the Bible tells us that Joseph and Mary brought, when they were dedicating Jesus, they brought the poor man's gift of pigeons. It came from a poor family. Are you with me? You're poor. God was bringing a deposit of mulas, money, harachi, dollars, pound sterling. That doesn't exist. Maybe it will re-exist now that Brexit is here. But provision was made so that Jesus, when he left Bethlehem and left to go to Egypt, they were fully resourced. Are you with me? They were fully resourced. God has a line, a caravan coming in your direction right now to make provision for every difficult moment. It is not how you started alone, but how you end. The in-between is the in-between. But God is working with you and for you on your in-betweens, because your story shall be told at the end. Your latter days shall be greater than your former days. In the mighty name of Jesus, total provision. Somebody say, total provision. Say, total provision for my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Christmas is about total provision. I want you to know that God knows your every need. No matter how tough your future is, God already knows it, and he's making provision. He said, but he didn't provide the inn. No. He provided a manger, because the manger relates with his son. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord, and may God's goodness be revealed in every aspect of your life. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.